Welcome to the Conquer Your Draft podcast, where fantasy champions are made. Welcome back to the Conquer Your Draft fantasy football podcast. I'm Josh, and with me as always is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Great. What a fantastic couple of days. It's been just wild. The news is all over the place. It's exciting. There's actually like big name moves, which is really cool.
Yeah, this is the time of the year where you're all in. This is your bread and butter.
Yeah, I like player movement, trade signings possibilities. It's one of the things that I like most about sports in general. So this time of year is really, really exciting. And normally there's always moves of some kind, but I would say this year especially, there's a lot that really impacts fantasy in pretty significant ways. And that's also very exciting to be able to look at some potentials for players in the coming year.
Yeah, there's been some big changes on both days of the tampering period so far. We're recording this on Tuesday night, so the new league year technically starts the day after we record. But there's been some big moves, some in every position group, really. I mean, nothing too shocking in the wide receiver area. But in terms of running back and quarterback especially, there's been some big moves.
And I guess technically we have to say, because everything that's been announced and everything we're going to talk about today technically is only made official by Wednesday, but for all intents and purposes, this is all agreed upon things, and this is the legal tampering period. So this is when this is supposed to happen. So Wednesday will just be literally signing the contracts. I guess it's possible something could happen between now and then, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, I think for the most part, these are done deals. They're just waiting for the clock to strike so that they can become official.
Not until that clock strikes. It's the you got to get that legal tender done. Yeah. Technically, either side could back out legally, but it's unlikely to happen.
Yeah, I think there's just a couple that have been announced where, like, who was it? I think Jameis Winston. There's some news about him that they were close to finalizing it, but it was essentially done, and like some stuff with people getting released that they're going to be released on the 13th, but it's basically official. Yeah. They just haven't officially
done the axiom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we've got a lot of news to get through. That is going to be the entirety of this episode, is just get through as much news as we can. This will probably be a two-part episode for free agency reactions because of how much has happened in just the 2 days of the tampering period. So we're going to get through as much of it as we can and talk about the fantasy football implications of each thing.
Yeah.
Before we dive into the free agency stuff, though, there was a couple of things I just wanted to mention. So the Jaguars had put out an announcement that they plan to lessen Travis Etienne's workload next year and have Tank Bigsby play a bigger role. And I was looking to see if they did anything in the running back room or anything like that, but they didn't. So both of those guys will still be there, but it seems like it'll be more of a 50-50 split, or at least closer to 50-50 than what we saw this year, which was pretty much exclusively Etienne. And 70% of the fans who received frostbite during the Kansas City Chiefs and Miami Dolphin game in the wildcard round require amputations as a result of the frostbite that they sustained. So that, just as a reminder, that was played in an open stadium in minus 33 degrees Celsius weather.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Where is this from? Statistics.
What from?
Like, who reported this?
I forget who it was in a news article. I'll see if I can pull it back up quickly while I
How are we not talking about? How is not everyone in the world talking about this, or at least in the world of sports, or at least, Canada or the U.S. What?
Yeah. The medical director at the Grossman Burn Center at Research Medical Center says 70% of patients referred for frostbite injuries suffered during the Chiefs game are now being advised to schedule amputations. It's 70% of patients referred for frostbite injuries in the bitter cold that was in January, the majority of whom are Chiefs fans who attended the playoff game. So I guess it's not specifically 70% of the people who got frostbite specifically at the game. 70% of the people who got sent to this center as a result of frostbite from the cold in January, the majority of which suffered the frostbite at the Chiefs game.
Maybe I'm ignorant about frostbite, or maybe it's just because I'm in Canada. But negative 33 does not seem like bad enough to cause frostbite. Is that completely incorrect?
So that is incorrect. But you have to think of it in terms of exposed skin. Like if you're dressed properly, like you could be out in frostbite for like an hour, or I'm sorry, you could be out in minus 33 for an hour.
You could be out in frostbite. This is just two Canadians talking about football. We stand in frostbite every day.
Yeah. You can be out for a long period of time, like in minus 30 degree weather, as long as you're
right. Covered properly.
Covered and like as long as you don't have like some sort of like health condition, like bad circulation, stuff like that, because obviously that would increase your risk.
I hear people with like diabetes, because that can cause circulation issues, like that can cause issues.
Yep. And there's a condition, I can't remember what it's called, Raynaud's, I think it might be. Essentially it's reduced blood flow to the hands and to the feet. So people with that are at higher risk, obviously. And then time is the other factor, obviously, because even if you're heavily bundled up, like you're not every single inch of you is bundled up, right? So that's why people kind of end up getting it like on their nose, on their cheeks, ears, fingers. It just depends on what they kind of have exposed, right? And so I'm just looking at a little chart here from Environment Canada. And so at minus 33, exposed skin can freeze in 10 to 30 minutes. And what's the average NFL game? 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah. I mean, I would say a playoff game, it's usually longer.
And like
four and a half.
You're not leaving like the second the game is over. So I'd say, let's say 5 hours. So yeah, 10 to 30 minutes exposed skin can freeze. You see people on TV all the time, like in the stands, they're shirtless, you know, they're kind of.
Yeah, but that's your own fault. Like, put a shirt on, like have somewhat of a sensibility. Like, I mean, I agree with you about the like stadium issue that exists in certain parts of the States. But like, I don't know. I personally don't believe slowing down for certain people is the right way to survive in life. So it bothers me when people are like, oh yeah, this person has frostbite and it's all the NFL's fault. But it's like, put a shirt on, man. Like, just bundle up. Like, you gotta have some sensibilities when you walk outside. Now, clearly I'm going to be more careful because I've been living fast and loose, thinking that like minus 33 is not that bad. I'm obviously going to change my tune now because Environment Canada just clearly proved me wrong. But still, like, have a shirt on. Get an idea.
It makes me wonder, though, like, the players, because a lot of them go around and have, like, exposed arms and stuff. Like, I wonder if any of them ever suffer frostbite in those kind of games.
You certainly don't hear about it, and I would imagine with the heating they have on the sidelines, it helps, because there's always those heaters, and your helmet sits on top of a heater, and, like, they've got some stuff there, so that probably helps. Like, they have some heating down at their benches.
Yeah, but, like, let's say you're on the defense, for example, and you're out on the field for, like, a 10-minute-long drive.
But that would suck.
You're technically in that range where exposed skin could freeze, right? Because, like, you're out in the field, you're not with any heat or anything, so...
Oh, definitely. I don't know. Again,
that could be something the NFL hides, I don't know.
Yeah, they call 100, and I would believe it. If you told me, oh, the NFL's hiding that stat, I'd be like, yeah, I believe you. Again, I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor over here, but I would just assume you're sweating and you're running around and you're like the circulation's at its best because your blood's pumping, like that helps. I know you don't feel the cold at least as much when you're running around as well, so you're also sweating a lot, you're also exercising, like that might make a big difference. But you're right, that's an issue. Like, that's a long time to be playing those games, especially when you get into the playoffs in January. You know, there's certain places that get really cold, so it's definitely an issue. And it is surprising that more NFL stadiums that are north don't have proper covered facilities. You would think that that would be a no-brainer, but obviously not. That's just wild. That statistic's just wild. I'm glad you clarified it, because that made slightly more sense. But still, that's still like a lot of people who just had frostbite to begin with, which is like that. There's like a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I mean it also ties into you know, people drinking alcohol, becoming warm, so they start taking layers off because they're more and more intoxicated, and if people start developing hypothermia, I don't know if you know this or not, Mike. People who become hypothermic, they their body tricks them. And now we're talking like hypothermia levels that like end up killing you,
right?
Not mild hypothermia. Your body tricks you, and you start feeling like you're overheating, but you're actually freezing to death. So,
right.
You find people who are who have frozen to death. A lot of time, you find them naked because they're in those last few minutes. They were thinking they were overheating and boiling, and so they strip themselves, trying to alleviate themselves, and end up just exposing themselves even faster.
Which is like, yeah, like obviously a serious thing, and I want people to know, you know, I take this stuff seriously. There's just always that part of me that when I hear, you know, oh, and then, you know, you throw alcohol into it. Yeah, why don't you have 3 drinks instead of 6? You know, like that would be also a solution to stay somewhat sober. You don't have to drink like an animal. Like, well, who was it? Wasn't it Jason Kelce at that exact game? Like, also, like, threw his shirt off and was, like, screaming and yelling. Or was that at the Bills game? I don't remember. A cold game he did that.
That was...
I don't remember which one it was.
Was the Bills game?
Yeah, I want to say it was the Bills game. Because also, like, a cold game. Mm-hmm. And I just... again, it's just, like... Okay, well, if anything happens to you, what are you thinking? What are you seriously thinking in that moment? Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, it all just goes back to play the game indoors, and it's just a bunch of guys playing football instead of having to worry about all this.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I totally agree. I think that because some stadiums are just not indoors and we can't snap our fingers and make them indoors, other things have to adjust, is all I'm saying. You can go there and have that attitude of like, we should just be indoors, but that's not going to keep you warm. Maybe having 3 beers instead of 6 will keep your shirt on, and then you won't get hypothermia, or you won't get frostbite, or what have you. No one deserves to have to go through amputation or pain or suffering. No one deserves it. So why don't you the universal you, not you, Josh. I know you're not doing this, but the people doing it, why don't you just, you know, why don't we just, why don't we just adjust our thinking a little bit? Right? Like, why, I don't understand. I don't understand why that isn't part of the equation, right? Like, all right, everyone, we want an indoor stadium, but we're 5 to 10 years from building one. So next year, put your thinking caps on and bundle up, right? Like, what? But we're, I don't know, we have to slow down. We have to always slow down for people. And it bothers me, Josh. It bothers me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because when I go to football games, Josh, guess what?
You dress
well. I might have a beverage. I've been known to have a beverage in my time. Now, I'm not a big drinker, so maybe I don't have 27, but I might have a beverage or two. I have a great and wonderful time. And guess what? No one's stripping down. No one's getting in fights. No one's screaming horrible things at Taylor Swift. Like, it's just everyone's having a great time. And I just enjoy the game. It's not that tough.
Fair enough. Well, instead of slowing down, we're going to speed up because there's still free agency news popping up on my phone even as we're recording this. So let's dive into the wild 2024 free agency.
Let's get to it.
Well, we'll start with the quarterbacks. And the New England Patriots have moved on from quarterback Mac Jones. He has been traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a 6th-round pick. And the Patriots have agreed to a 1-year, $8 million deal with quarterback Jacoby Brissett. So now all that, at least the way I'm interpreting this, is it remains to be seen if they take their shot on a quarterback in the draft this year or next year.
Number 3 overall pick.
Yeah.
So maybe a quarterback. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, certainly Mac Jones is now the backup in Jacksonville.
Yes.
To Trevor Lawrence, that obviously. And Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he'll if he starts, and maybe they, even if they draft a quarterback, it could be kind of a shared thing where you ease a young quarterback in or let them fight it out in camp. But I mean, you're the Patriots fan here. Like, what do you think here? Was it time to move on from Mac Jones?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say yes, like absolutely, because he didn't really have very much weaponry to work with. But at the same time, like we've seen quarterbacks like Tom Brady be able to work with nothing in terms of receiving room and still do well. So obviously, Mac Jones is not Tom Brady, but we've seen it done before, so I can understand that their patience has run out with him, because this is, he's, what was it, 3 years for Mac Jones? 2 years? Would this be if it was third?
This would have been year three this year, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they gave him 2 years. They didn't really see very much from him that they liked. So time to move on. I think no matter what, Jacoby Brissett will be the starter this year. And then it just remains to be seen how that goes. And if they draft a quarterback with the 3rd overall pick, if they do, and Jacoby Brissett is terrible, then maybe halfway through the year or something like that, you see the rookie take over. If things are serviceable with Jacoby, then they might let him play the full year, kind of do like an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love thing. Let him just kind of learn behind the scenes and then take the step forward once Jacoby's gone the following year. Or they might just draft something else, run a year with Jacoby, and then look at what they can draft next year. I'm not really sure. Based on, like, outside of a couple of wide receivers, I don't know where else they would go with the pick if they're not getting a quarterback. So I'm guessing they're going to probably take one at number 3, or there's going to be some sort of draft night maneuvering, and they're going to try to move up a pick or two. But yeah, I mean, I think Jacoby will be a serviceable enough option for them to be able to run that offense. He's been there before. He knows their system. Obviously, Bill Belichick's not there, but I can't imagine the New England playbook is changing that much that he won't be able to kind of fall right back into where he was before. And he performed well when he was there as the backup before. So I'm still probably not too gung-ho on the Patriots offensive weapons outside of Ramondre. Probably wouldn't be looking to take Brissett in any fantasy drafts, but I don't think it would be worse either, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I agree. I think this is like a stabilizing move, kind of keep a somewhat stable quarterback that you know, you have some experience with, knows your organization, and just play it out for a year. Maybe they draft a young quarterback, and like you say, there's just a learning opportunity there. Or, you know, they're preparing themselves for, hey, we got the number 3 overall pick this year. We're going to have a bad year next year and have another top 5 pick. And that's a good way to start building your team again. If you have a couple years in a row of good high draft picks, you suck for a bit, you can start to rebuild your team that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, that's still going to be a question mark until the NFL draft and we see where the chips fall. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and quarterback Baker Mayfield have agreed on a 3-year deal worth up to $115 million with $50 million guaranteed, which I think was probably the best thing for them.
I think it's a solid parties. Move. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Baker would have gotten a better deal anywhere else, and he did well enough for Tampa Bay. Like, they made the playoffs, barely, but they made the playoffs. I think you kept Mike Evans. Him and Baker Mayfield showed a very strong connection last year. Why separate that? I think you hurt your offense and do your team a disservice if you didn't sign him.
You might as well stick with what you know, especially if it's the good chemistry with your number one receiver that you just committed to. I think it's a really good move for both players, for both player and team.
Russell Wilson is signing a 1-year team-friendly deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'd say so. Isn't he playing for like $1.5 million or something? Like, it's
yeah, the Broncos are footing the vast majority of his bill.
Yeah.
I don't even remember exactly what the specifics of it are. I'm gonna try to find it. Because yeah, essentially, like, he's playing for free for the Steelers, and the Broncos are paying his salary. Because of that,
against him, essentially.
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So his new contract will give him $1.21 million, because it's the league minimum for the 2024 season. But essentially, the Broncos were going to have to pay him $39 million if he played for them, or if they cut him, I think, during the league year. But now they still have to pay him $37.7 million, so they saved like $2 million. And yeah, you're paying almost $38 million to a quarterback who's gonna play against you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so perfect for the Steelers. It's a 1-year thing, so if Wilson is like terrible, it costs them literally the bare minimum for the league.
Yeah, it's not much of a risk, and you know, their uncertainty with Kenny Pickett. I mean, it makes sense why they would want to bring in someone. I'm surprised it's him, but I think for that deal, you go, well, it's a low risk for us, and the high reward is Wilson can like find his footing again. I think he's over the hill. I don't think you're going to get much out of him, but again, can he get much worse? I don't know about that. I think they just figure maybe we can bounce him back a little bit. So why not? No risk. There's literally no risk here for the Steelers.
No. And it was kind of a smart move on Wilson's part, because by going the route that he did, he's a much more attractive free agent. Yeah. You know, if he'd been looking to get like a $25 million deal, then the Broncos would still have to pay $14 million to make up the difference in his $39 billion salary. But then not as many teams would be interested. Like, you're probably not going to get a deal with the Steelers for $25 million, right? But for $1.2 million, who's going to say no to that? And then it's kind of just, where does Russell Wilson want to go? So sucks for Denver, but good for Steelers, I guess. Assuming it goes well, it could implode. It could implode.
I mean, I have zero faith in Russell Wilson. I don't think he can do what he used to do. I don't even know if the type of offense that he's going to really suits him necessarily. But with that being said, when there's not much of a risk at all, why not? Why not do it? Like, what are you honestly losing? Nothing.
Yep. The Falcons have agreed to a 4-year deal with Kirk Cousins worth $180 million with $100 million guaranteed. So there's a lot to unpack there with Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. But I think first and foremost, the most pressing question for all of our fans, for you, Mike, is... What does this do with your opinion on Kyle Pitts?
Well, I am all in on Kyle Pitts. Absolutely. Maybe one of the best tight ends of our time. I am 100% on board for this. I think this is a fantastic move for the Falcons. I think this bumps up that entire offense. And Kyle Pitts is now back on the radar. Absolutely. I think this is, to me, for the Falcons, this is the absolute best case scenario that they could have gotten, getting someone like Kirk Cousins in. I think for Drake London, I think for Kyle Pitts, it's good. Even for Bijan Robinson, a strong, stable passing game can mean wonders for a running back, especially someone like Bijan who can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's multi-layered. He's multi-talented. Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, the talent, the high draft picks, Drake London, also a good draft pick. You're giving Kirk Cousins some weapons, and Kirk Cousins has done really well with the weapons he had in Minnesota. And it's not like 100% comparable, but it's not that big of a drop off what he's getting with at least the talent of these guys. So if there's someone who can put it together, at least for fantasy, it's Kirk Cousins. I'm only talking fantasy here. I don't know what'll happen in terms of playoff runs or going for that relatively weak division. I think that division's wide open, but for fantasy, I'm in on Kyle Pitts. Absolutely.
All right, you heard it here first. Mike is now the number one Kyle Pitts fan.
I will be offering, whoever drafts him, I'll be offering multitudes of trades for Kyle Pitts, for sure. I think it's worth having a Falcon for Kirk Cousins going there alone, because I don't think anyone can deny that the Minnesota Vikings has been a pretty good fantasy goldmine for at least the past two seasons, if not three seasons. TJ Hawkinson goes there, has a really good year. A bit of a down year last year, but like still a good year, at least in terms of his standards. He ended up having a pretty good year. Obviously, Addison, up and down season, but was having a good year. Before he got injured, Jefferson, great season. So Kirk Cousins throwing to Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson in the backfield. The Falcons are one more offensive weapon, in my opinion, away from being like, oh, they'll win that division, in my mind. I think they need one more decent receiver. But otherwise, yeah, I really do like all these players that I just mentioned in fantasy. Why wouldn't I? Kirk Cousins can get the job done, at least in terms of getting yardage and points and fantasy points.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is huge for the Falcons. I think they have a great shot at winning their division now.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins should absolutely be able to improve Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson's fantasy value. His value should still stay strong.
I think so. You're not going to get a lot of primetime games out of Atlanta anyway, usually.
No, yeah, no, he'll be fine.
There's no problem there. He's going to be playing a lot at Sunday at 1-4. No problem.
Yeah, that's when he
shines.
Yeah, that's when he's at his best. He's a he'll star. Be fine.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, great. Thursday nights and Monday nights, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, I knew that was one of the more popular landing spots being projected for him. Obviously, nothing is official until it's official, but I'm very happy with how that turns out for fantasy, for all the implications there.
Definitely. I mean, I know I'm being a little over dramatic, but doesn't it, in a sense, open up another receiver tight end that you could now pick and feel a little bit better about? Like, oh, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's one of those things you are taking a bit of a gamble because, you know, it hasn't happened yet. We're betting that it's going to translate to success because that's what we've seen in the past. But obviously, that's not a guarantee. But I would say the odds are, you now have another wide receiver in Drake London who could potentially be a wide receiver one this year. Kyle Pitts could be back in the top five tight ends. Who knows? Top three. Like you don't know. We're going to see a new head coach this year, so potentially a new offensive scheme. It's great things for Bijan, whether they, like, no matter really what they run, because if they're doing run heavy, great for Bijan. He's a great pass catcher as well. We saw in the past Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook. He's able to facilitate that. So all in all, I think it's great for Bijan. I don't think he loses any fantasy value there at all. It's just all positive for the Falcons right now. Assuming there's no hiccups or anything with his Achilles tendon, Kirk Cousins' Achilles, with the recovery, it seems, everything I've heard seems to be that it's going well, it's going smoothly, as long as there's no setbacks or a repeat injury this upcoming season. It all looks good for the Falcons and the fantasy options there.
Definitely.
The flip side, with the Vikings, where Kirk Cousins has left, so they're expected to sign quarterback Sam Darnold to a one-year $10 million contract. And quite frankly, I think that has the exact opposite effect of Kirk Cousins' effect in Atlanta is Sam Darnold in the Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Sam Darnold's great. What I don't mind about the move is, again, I feel like they decided to opt for, we're going to bring in someone who's at least got some experience, former first-round draft pick, see if we can like spark something. The thing I will say is that Addison and Jefferson are big yards after catch receivers. So as much as they are, yes, down the field receivers, I feel like you can give them the ball at the 5 or 6 yard mark and suddenly it becomes 15. So I still expect a decent amount of yardage and catches out of those two players in particular. I don't know about the rest of the offense. Like, I feel like that there's a lot of other question marks that come up with this deal. I definitely think it's a downgrade, but at the end of the day, of some of the other moves they could have made, I kind of understand what they're doing, and they're only doing the 1 year contract thing. So again, I think they're hoping that they can either find another player or maybe draft. I don't know offhand where they are in the draft, but
they're 11th, I believe.
Yeah, so yeah, probably not 11th. A quarterback this year. Not a quarterback this year. Not one that that can probably step in. But
no, not unless they make a draft night move at this rate. For me, I mean, ultimately, Justin Jefferson is great. He will be great no matter who is throwing him the ball. But it calls into question now, because over the past two seasons, he's been arguably the number one wide receiver for fantasy football, especially going into drafts. Can you still say the same without Kirk Cousins there? Sam Darnold's not throwing the ball. I think it's fair to say he's going to have a step back. Yeah. Now, he still will be great. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to be like a top five wide receiver or something. I'm just saying he might not be one, you know. CD Lamb, what we saw this year, he could easily be number one. If we get a full year out of Jamar Chase and a full year out of Joe Burrow, Chase could easily be number one.
Yeah, like I would say even before this move, for me, Jefferson is somewhere in the 3 to 4 conversation. Because I right now, we haven't done rankings and it'll be time to think about it, but I right now look at CeeDee Lamb and Jamar Chase as having potentially big seasons next year. Tyreek Hill still being impactful, maybe Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, one of them kind of establishing themselves and having a bit of a bounce back year for Kupp, and maybe Puka Nacua coming into play. So I kind of see all them up in this conversation. So Jefferson, to me, regardless, drops a few points, but I don't know. Is he out of the top five? I would say no, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, no.
But number one, yeah, I think that that's a fair argument regardless of if it was Kirk Cousins or someone else. Like, I think that's a fair argument only because of how well someone like CeeDee Lamb has performed, and a healthy Ja'Marr Chase. I think that then the questions start to arise there. And I will also say, not that it 100% matters, but it does to me, my running back scenario is more questionable, I think, after the moves in the past couple of days as well. So in terms of if I'm picking first, am I picking a receiver? Am I picking a running back? Am I picking a quarterback? I think there's a lot of questions right now. So Jefferson, to me, does slide out of that conversation. I'm more comfortable picking someone like CeeDee Lamb first than I am, and even Chase at this point, than I am with Jefferson.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you there. The Las Vegas Raiders are signing quarterback Gardner Minshew to a 2-year, $25 million deal with $15 million guaranteed. And they're expected to cut Jimmy Garoppolo at the start of the new league year. So again, that's tomorrow. We're recording on Tuesday, so Jimmy Garoppolo will be cut tomorrow. I don't think that really changes too much for the Raiders. I mean, I think that's kind of a lateral move.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think it's still going to be, Devontae Adams is still great. You can still trust him. Outside of Devontae Adams, probably not much. I would maybe look to spot start Gardner Minshew, or maybe he's a backup. Not somebody I'm looking to be dealing with regularly, though, on my team.
Yeah.
The Washington Commanders are signing quarterback Marcus Mariota to a 1-year, $6 million deal. That's, again, to me, kind of just lateral to what they were like last year, you know, with Sam Howell and the rotating quarterbacks that they had there. That's not much of a change for me. I don't think no. I'm really that interested in Marcus Mariota. No. Yeah, just another lateral move for your franchise. Now they are their second overall, are they not? Yeah, they're the second overall pick. So I'm assuming their plan is they're going to draft a quarterback, have him start behind Mariota, and then either things fall off the rails and the rookie takes over, or after this season, they'll start the rookie the following year and let Mariota go. Makes sense there.
I don't think the Commanders have suddenly gone up in terms of fantasy value for offensive players with this move. Like, it's not, I don't think it's anything to kind of worry about. But again, you, like you said, you just never know. Something falls off and suddenly a rookie quarterback comes in and gets going and goes on a hot streak, then you could see that change. But for right now, yeah, they added Mariota, whatever. Okay, can kind of just run an offense. But I don't think it's necessarily anything to think too much about right yet.
No. Quarterback Jameis Winston close to finalizing a 1-year, $8.7 million deal with the Cleveland Browns. I'm assuming the assumption is he's just going to take Jacoby Brissett's place on their roster as a backup to Deshaun Watson. We'll see how that works out. And quarterback Drew Lock is being signed by the New York Giants. I assume, again, he will also be a backup to Daniel Jones. So nothing too relevant for either of those unless the starter goes down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's switch gears and we'll dive into running backs. A lot of big names involved in the running back markets so far this year. The Titans are expected to sign running back Tony Pollard, who played for the Cowboys the past couple of seasons. So now he's moving to Tennessee. I don't know if I'm going to be that interested in Pollard. I'm going to be honest with you.
I assume Will Levis is their plan at quarterback.
As far as I'm aware, yeah. They didn't make any other moves, and they're not in a position. They're number seventh, so in the draft. So unless they are trading up, I don't imagine there's anyone else coming in at quarterback. So yeah, Will Levis is gonna be there. They don't have that great of an offensive line.
No,
we saw Derrick Henry struggle last year. Like, now he still had games where he was his regular old self, but he's Derrick Henry, and Tony Pollard's much smaller than Derrick Henry. And they're not the same type of runner. Yeah. So,
and I think Tony Pollard benefited a lot from being part of an offense that could move the ball down the field quite well. So he got a lot of good red zone touches. He got a good opportunities. That it's a better O line. So yeah, I don't. There's a couple of these moves that I feel very similarly about when it comes to running backs, and this is the first of them where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that's for the player. I don't know if that's necessarily a good move. I feel like Tony Pollard, my interest in him drops a little bit with this, and there's some uncertainty there.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm probably not going to be looking his way, at least not certainly not as an RB1, maybe as an RB2, RB3 kind of a thing. Depends on where he falls in the draft. But yeah, he is certainly not someone I was much more excited about him last year with him being attached to Dallas than I am this year. The Chicago Bears have agreed to terms on a 3-year, $24 million deal with running back D'Andre Swift. So Swift played for the Eagles last season. He showed the world that he still had what it takes, and the Bears scooped him up. So add a bit of a rushing game, try to help out their offense, establish something outside of Justin Fields or Caleb Williams.
Probably Caleb Williams, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that hasn't happened yet. We didn't talk about the moves that haven't happened at quarterback yet, but obviously Fields.
Well, if he hasn't gone anywhere yet. Yeah.
Well, the draft it could happen.
Well, I guess, but to where? Because a lot of the teams that needed a quarterback have one now.
Yeah, I mean, it might be plans change or a team can get them a little cheaper because they might be able to get the Bears to finally move them. Now, the Bears are under no obligation to move them. So there's no reason why they should lower their price. But, you know, you never know. People get crazy at the draft. Big deals do happen. A team might look around and be like, oh, I really wanted this player, and for some reason this player is no longer available. I didn't expect one of the young quarterbacks to go by this pick, so now I've got to do something. You never know. So yeah, you're right. Like, the chances of him getting dealt have definitely gone down, but it's still not impossible. But I think for me, this is another move at running back where I'm kind of like, yeah, depending upon what this offensive situation is, Swift could play a really good role to stabilize things, but I need to see it first. I'm not trusting that the Bears are well put together of an offense because they have talent all over the place and that just still didn't necessarily work for them. So Swift is definitely an upgrade, but I want to see who's playing quarterback, and I want to see what other moves they make and what this team shapes out to be. But it's definitely an upgrade for them. And I still think Swift, like you said, has proven he can do it all in the backfield. So I think he's proven his value in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've learned with Chicago, you need to kind of take a wait and see approach so you don't get burned.
Yep. But you see what I'm saying? That's two running backs in a row that we're waiting and seeing with, essentially. Pollard's dropped a bit and Swift we're waiting and seeing. So that's not a good start.
Nope. And here's a couple more for you.
Well, so we'll talk about it. Let's
the Green Bay Packers are signing running back Josh Jacobs and released running back Aaron Jones, who was then signed by the Minnesota Vikings to a 1-year $7 million deal.
Vikings, yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So Josh Jacobs is gone from Las Vegas. He is now going to play for the Packers. He was a lead rusher 2 years ago. Still did pretty good last season. Has a chance to kind of reignite the Packers ground game. Aaron Jones moving inner division to the Minnesota Vikings, taking over for Alexander Mattison, who tried and failed to fill the shoes of Dalvin Cook. Aaron Jones, similar type of player. Maybe he can pull it off. Yeah. But again, we don't have Kirk Cousins there now. We have Darnold.
Darnold. Yeah.
That is our question mark. I think if that move had happened while Kirk Cousins is still there, I would be much more excited about it.
Yeah.
So I am much more excited about Josh Jacobs going to the Packers because I think they will use him pretty similarly to how he was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And to what we'd seen from Aaron Jones in the past. So I like that move. I'm kind of up on Josh Jacobs there. I'm pretty neutral on Aaron Jones because I need to see what this offense is going to look like with Sam Darnold at the helm.
Yeah, Sam Darnold definitely has a lot of weapons here to work with in Minnesota, but with who he is and how he's played, there's a lot of questions there. But I agree with you. Josh Jacobs, I like this move for him for fantasy impact. We saw, especially in the playoffs, near the end of the season and the playoffs for the Packers, how a solid running game helped that offense. So if they get Josh Jacobs going, that's only going to benefit Jordan Love. They've got a couple good receivers that he's developing chemistry with. Like, I think this is a great move for the Packers and for Josh Jacobs. But for Aaron Jones, yeah, to me it's kind of like another wait and see where I could see it being more beneficial and I could see him having a great time in Minnesota. And if they can make it work, he's a great piece to an offense that has a lot of other great pieces. But it's a wait and see for Aaron Jones, and it's a great, that's exciting for Josh Jacobs. That's a solid, I think, move for fantasy.
Yeah, absolutely. The Patriots are signing running back Antonio Gibson, who was previously on the Commanders. I could be wrong because this is the Patriots backfield. I'm imagining what it will be is Ramondre Stevens is first and second down. Antonio Gibson becomes a third down back. Yeah. Kind of hurts Ramondre's value because he had value as a pass catcher. If he's not going to be on the field for third down, then you do lose some of that. But by no means do I think Antonio Gibson is really going. There's a risk that he's going to take Ramondre's starting job. So
no, it's a depth move, a number two guy. You know, I don't think it's going to take his starting job, but it definitely might lower that value by a rank or two because you know that Gibson's going to get some touches.
Yeah, and he's going to get some passes because that's primarily how he was used in Washington.
Yeah, definitely.
So running back Saquon Barkley has agreed to a 3-year, $37.75 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow, I did not see this one coming. I really didn't.
Yep, I didn't think he was going to end up there. That caused quite a stir with the Giants fans. They are very, very upset. With Saquon for going to the Eagles, a division rival. I think it's good for Saquon. I think it's good for the Eagles. I think that kind of gives them a much more powerful ground game that they can use to kind of take some of the heat off of Jalen Hurts, especially around the goal line. I think it opens up their ground game a bit more, which helps open up your passing game a bit more. It remains to be seen what their offensive line, like, is it still going to be able to do what it's done in the past without Jason Kelce there? Because he was an amazing center for them. So that still remains to be seen. But we've seen great things from Saquon Barkley in the past behind a much worse Giants offensive line. So
no matter what, even without Jason Kelce, this is an upgrade on an offensive line for Barkley.
Yeah, it's still a net positive for Barkley.
Yes, I agree on that point. How he's going to be utilized, how it works in this offense, I think there are some questions. But you bring up a lot of good points that I think he definitely adds this value of bringing in, coming to this dynamic offense, taking some heat off their quarterback. He can do some short yardage stuff. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He can do some goal line stuff. Like you can play around with, like, now there's two threats, the tush push and Saquon Barkley. And I think that that's a new dimension for sure. So yeah, I think to me, net positive for sure. And the, I think the point you bring up about the O-line is a good one, because he did a lot with a terrible offensive line at times in New York.
And so, a terrible just offense, really.
Oh, for sure. And yet still, with a terrible offense, he had some fantastic games. So I think that you, Saquon Barkley still has a lot of value here. So it's going to be really, that's a really interesting move. Like, I'm really excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, me too. The Los Angeles Chargers are signing running back Gus Edwards to a 2-year deal. And former Chargers running back Austin Eckler is signing a 2-year deal worth up to $11.43 million with the Washington Commanders. So I don't really love the Gus Edwards move for the Chargers. Like, I don't think they're, like, compared to what they had with Austin Eckler. Well, I mean, the Austin Eckler that we normally would see, not the Austin Eckler we saw last year. I don't think Edwards is an improvement there, but I think maybe it's just kind of a, okay, we know you've been decent enough in the NFL in the past. We can tie it over until we can draft someone. There's not really any good, like, there's no Bijan Robinsons in this draft class. So maybe they're hiding over till next year, try to build for the future, and kind of using Gus Edwards to stall or tide them over. And then Austin Eckler going to the Commanders, if he is back to his old self, that significantly changes the offensive outlook for the Commanders, even with Mariota at the helm, because then they'll have a strong ground game.
Yeah.
It destroys Brian Robinson's value, unfortunately. Yes. But if they can use him the way that they did, then even that might help boost Mariota and by extension the rest of the offense, because they have to honor the threat that Austin Eckler is.
That's right. Yeah. Eckler's still a talent. He's still got a lot going. Just because he's going to a much weaker team doesn't mean that he can't have that value. And I think you bring up good points. Like, the big thing is he's going to take away from Robinson. So Eckler's going to be the featured back. He's going to do some damage. I agree with that. We'll see kind of what happens. But again, if you have a quarterback that's kind of okay and you have an okay offense, often the running game is still pretty good. Like, you can get away with a decent running game. So they might still be able to get some points there. And there were times this year that the Commanders had some decent running moments where their running backs had good games.
Yeah, like Brian Robinson finished strong throughout the fantasy season. Yeah. So if maybe they're looking to kind of repeat that, but with a more dynamic running back, of a dual threat. But unfortunately, if you had Brian Robinson in Dynasty, obviously this is not good news for you.
No.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have re-signed Chase Edmonds to a 1-year deal. Obviously still plan to keep him behind Rashad White, but they liked what they saw, so he'll be their third down guy. So a bit of controversy with the Bengals. So originally it was announced that they have made a deal with running back Zach Moss for 2 years, $8 million, and that they were cutting Joe Mixon. And then I can't remember if it was the same day or later or the next day, but instead of cutting him, they've now traded him to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
So Zach Moss will be the running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. Zach Moss has not really had a chance to be like the main guy. He's kind of been a backup fill-in player, but last year we saw when he had that chance, he made the most of it. He looked great. And now it's earned him a 2-year, $8 million contract. And then Joe Mixon, we're going to see him go to the Texans. I imagine he will be the starter over Damian Pierce. So again, if you're a Damian Pierce manager in terms of dynasty, that's not good news, but we never saw the breakout last year that we kind of expected from Damian Pierce. So kind of saw something like this coming.
Yeah. I think Zach Moss has the potential of having a pretty good year in Cincinnati. I think that's a good move for them. And Joe Mixon is an upgrade for Houston, gives them another weapon. He's going to a team with like a young receiver core and a young quarterback. He could stabilize them with a strong running game. It could make the Houston Texans that much more of a threat offensively. I don't think it's a terrible move in terms of fantasy for either player.
No, I think both of them, that worked out well for the for them. The only one who kind of lost out here is Damian Pierce, like I said.
Yes. Yeah.
Running back Nyheim Hines is signing a one-year deal worth $3.5 million with the Browns. They lost Nick Chubb to a season-ending injury last year. I haven't really heard what his plans are for the season, if he's planning to come back, if he's done, what the status is there. So Nyheim Hines could be the main guy. He could be a backup. I think that still remains to be seen. I would say the fact that they're signing him and paying him that much money, he's going to be seeing a significant amount of playing time, at least in this 1 year. And then they might be in the same position as what I talked about with skipping over this draft class and hoping for the next year's draft class, picking somebody who could be like a generational talent, like Bijan Robinson.
Yep.
The Baltimore Ravens are signing running back Derrick Henry to a 2-year, $16 million deal. So you knew that was coming with Tony Pollard going to the Titans, and then it became official. I kind of suspected that's where Derrick Henry was going if he didn't stay with Tennessee. I was correct, and that can only be positives. I only see positives out of this for both Henry and for the Ravens offense.
An upgrade. What an upgrade that is. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it gives them a genuine run game, a goal line threat, everything that you could want. Takes some of the pressure off Lamar, which will boost the passing game, boost Lamar's ability to run, because they're going to have to focus on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry can throw touchdown passes. We've seen that. And then, like, how do you stop this offense now? Do you stack the box to stop Derrick Henry? Well, guess what? Lamar Jackson is great at running against stacked boxes. And he's great at, and it's just easy to throw over the top of them, you know? So do you sell out to stop Derrick Henry? You give up a Lamar run, or you give up a pass deep. You play back to try to stop those two things. You give up a huge Derrick Henry run. Like, this is going to be a wild offense to watch, and I'm super excited for it. I just hope Derrick Henry is getting up there in age. I hope his body can survive for the 2 years, because I'm super excited to watch how this translates, and I'm super excited for the Ravens in terms of fantasy football.
Oh yeah, I think it's great. It's great for fantasy. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a great year. I think the Ravens, they're trying to put their team over the top, and that's a big moment for them. Absolutely.
And that is all the time that we have for free agency so far. We still got plenty to dive into. We're going to be doing another episode to keep everybody up to date on all that. Don't worry. But thank you for joining us. Take care. Stay safe.